This is God's Covenant Church, the Church of God, established in Jesus' name, thanking God for another Sabbath day in the School of Wisdom. And I am glad to be here, glad to be a part of God's church, and I love the teaching that we get here. The teaching that we get is keeping me from the ways of the world, and I'm taking on more of the ways of God because of the teaching. We keep God's commandments, and I'm so happy about it, looking forward to hearing the word today. And at this time, I present unto you our pastor, Perry Boyd.
Thank you, Elder Phillips. My elders, missionary deacons, all the saints, all that hear my voice, we do greet you in the name of Jesus, another Sabbath day. Glad to be with you, glad for our anointed that's going on. Moses and all the prophets, we're continuing steadfast in the prophets and the apostles' doctrine. So many feel they have salvation, but yet they're sinning and they're yet in sin. But the thought today is about the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Either you're saved from sin or you're yet in it. And before we get into that thought, the choir is going to sing this number, Salvation.
Made a choice to accept his judgment.
that beautiful? Thank God. When salvation came, thank God for the choir. They're singing not in a strange land, but they're in the land of Canaan. We're in the world, but we are not of it. Deacon Debbie, what's our announcements?
You can visit us at any time for our broadcast messages at www.godscovenantchurch.org. Write and mail us at 425 Laconia Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90061. Or call us at any time at area code 323-754-8302. You can email us at info@godscovenantchurch.org. Also, you can subscribe to our podcast at www.godscovenantchurch.org. Now the pastor.
Thank you, Deacon. Thank God. Another Sabbath day. Glad to be with you. We are few in numbers, but yet we are a multitude, because if the righteous scarcely be saved, where does the ungodly and the sinner appear? Scarcely. The righteous are scarce in the earth. Deuteronomy 4:6 says, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Now, I believe the scripture. Let's go to Isaiah 59:1. We're in a day and time where everyone knows the Lord. Drunkards. People that were baptized when they were a baby and have been under the word since then. And they say, I'm saved. People that say, I believe he died for my sins. No one could do what he have did. I'm saved because I believe that. That don't make you saved because you believe he died for your sins. I believe that, for I got saved. To be saved means you're saved from sin. To be saved means you don't sin anymore. That's what being saved is. And he come to save his people from sin. And how are we saved from sin? Obey the word. Didn't we just sing that?
Yes.
If you obey the word, you sin not. How plain is that? Isaiah 59:1, Deacon Franny, what does it say?
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save.
Now this is beautiful. Isaiah is saying he's the one, that's the brother, that told us the Lord is going to come as a son. A son is given. He told us what was going to happen. He's also telling us about the Lord's hand. It's not shortened, that it cannot save. This is why so many preachers love to preach, he did what you cannot do. That is not true. He did what he wants us to do, keep his word. If you keep his word, you're saved from sin. How plain is that? Let's go right quick. 1 John 3. Let's see what the word is saying. 1 John 3. They don't like to go here, these preachers. Some don't know it. And some go there, don't understand it. They say, well, you know what? I don't want to argue with you. That's the way you see it. I don't know how else you can see it if you understand plain English, and if you have a desire to live for God, there's no other way to understand it. 3 and 4 says what? 1 John.
Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law.
So whoever in this world is committing sin, whether you are under the teaching of God or not, if you transgress, whoever sin is transgressing the law of God. And it is one of the commandments, which is God's word. Whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law. What?
For sin is the transgression of the law.
Now, how plain is that? So if the Lord came to save his people from sin, it means save us from sinning. Save us from breaking his word. And many times his word is being broken because you don't understand that you can do it. But these lying preachers tell the people no one could keep God's law, which means no one could keep God's word. So what you're preaching the word for if you can't keep it? What's the point? I said, well, you're preaching the word because he died for our sins. No, that's preaching Jesus, that he died for my sins. I knew that before I got saved. But what I didn't understand was, or what I didn't know was, if you really believe that he died for your sins and that God raised him up from the dead, you believe you can keep his word. Yes. That's what that really means. And faith and belief without works is dead. Don't mean anything. I have a niece today I was talking to, and she was telling me all about the Lord going to do this, the Lord going to do that. And I said, what are you going to do for the Lord? Because to say what the Lord is going to do is fine, but God is expecting you to implement it. Isn't that beautiful? What he has done is provided us the way. He provided us the mind that he has, which is his word. As the Lord said, my Father gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. He gave us himself. We're supposed to lay hold on it and do it. Isn't that beautiful? Whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law. What?
For sin is the transgression of the law.
How plain is that? Let's go back to Isaiah. Mm-hmm. If I read this scripture 20 times over and over again, that's what I want you to have on your mind when you leave this broadcast or this site you're on. 59 and 1 says, what does it say?
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save.
So let's not say, well, could nobody help, can't help but sin. Ain't nobody perfect. That's a lie. Because if you cannot help but sin, the Lord's hand is shortened that it cannot save. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. Now, he died for our past sin, but he's, because we accept his sacrifice, that means we are going to obey his word and not sin anymore. Yeah. That's why the Lord said, he that believeth in me shall never die. You don't die unless you commit sin, because the wages of sin is death.
Yes.
Let's read the second verse.
But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you.
So wait a minute. You got sinners, so-called sinners in Zion. If you're a churchgoer or not, and you're sinning, your face is hid from God, and God's face is hid from you. Your iniquities have separated you, separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Read 58:1. What does that say, Isaiah? 58:1.
Yes, Pastor. Cry aloud.
Cry aloud.
Spare not.
Don't you spare anyone. What?
Lift up thy voice like a trumpet.
Isn't that beautiful?
And show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins.
So wait a minute. There is sin in the house of Jacob. Those are the ones that are lost and don't know it. God said he come to save that which was lost. Lost in the teaching. Lost in this world. Lost to the knowledge of salvation. Lost in the knowledge to know that God's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. God can save you if you will yield to God. Yes. Cry aloud.
Mm-hmm. Spare not.
Spare not.
Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression.
What?
And the house of Jacob their sin.
So God wants those that are striving to live for him to know where the transgression is. Know how we're not keeping his word if we're not keeping his word. What's the second verse say?
Yet they seek me daily.
See, well, they love to go to church. And as I was talking to my niece, she was telling me all the faults about her church and the people there. I said, well, she said, I don't trust anyone. I don't have no friends. I said, well, a person's friends, if they're living for God, the friend should be the churchgoer. That's where God is. And if you're having problems with people, they're not friendly, you should go to your pastor. That's for the pastor. That should be your best friend. She didn't know how to answer that too much because she don't know teaching. And I knew that. But I was just giving her food for the spirit, for her soul.
Beautiful.
I said, you think on what I'm saying to you.
I said, what's the point? If you don't, can't go to your pastor, you got nothing. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. What?
As a nation that did righteousness.
What?
And forsook
not. Well, wait a minute. As a nation that did righteousness, mm-hmm. and all of our righteousnesses were as filthy rags before we came to God. But the scripture tells you plainly, he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. But these preachers said, ain't nobody right. That's why he died. That's not why he died. He died so we have food on the table.
Yes, ma'am.
He died so we don't keep throwing up bullocks and heifers, and we're doing nothing. And they're doing the same thing with what he did. Because he died for our sins, they throw that up there and don't have to live a life. They feel. As a nation that did righteousness mm-hmm. and forsook.
And forsook not the ordinance of their God.
What?
They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God.
You cannot beat these panels discussing about the word and don't know God. Don't have a clue about God. And when they discuss God, they have all kind of commentaries, dictionaries, Hebrew interpretations, Hebrew texts, original, and on and on and on. And besides all of that, they got somebody over in the corner speaking in tongues, a language that nobody know about, not even God don't know about. Just a bunch of foolishness.
It is, Pastor.
59 and 1, read that again.
Mm-hmm. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save.
In other words, if you're going to live for God, what's the point in living for God if you cannot do all things mm-hmm. through Christ that strengthens you? If you can't do it, what's the point? God got all power. He cannot regulate that mind. Now, wait a minute. If he can regulate your mind from coveting and stealing, why you cannot regulate your mind from having gods and regulate your mind from honoring a day, the first day of the week, who has nothing to do with the day of rest, but honoring the day that he hallowed? Why can't I give you a mind to do that?
Right.
He can and he does. Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm.
The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. What?
Neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear.
God's ear is not heavy, but God don't hear a sinner's prayer.
Right.
He don't do that. But if you be a worshiper, which means if you're striving to live for God, God will hear. Or if you have an earnest desire for God, God will hear your prayer. But his ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. Isn't that beautiful? Deuteronomy 33.
All right. That's my sister.
His hand is not shortened that it cannot save. But the problem is when you get to his hand and you start bringing out what his hand is, they get to running. They want to run away from that hand. Because that hand is fiery. Isn't that beautiful? He said, well, I love the Lord. But as soon as you start bringing out what the Lord is calling for, he said, now, wait a minute. We ain't got to do that. God knew we couldn't do it. Then what did he write it for? What did he give it to us for? Deuteronomy 32:33, and 2.
And he said, the Lord came from Sinai mm-hmm. and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran,
mm-hmm.
and he came with 10,000s of saints.
What?
From his right hand went a fiery law for them.
His hand is not shortened that it cannot save. This fiery law that came from his hand is what saves us.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Beautiful.
Yes. Let's go to Luke 1 and 68.
Yes, Pastor.
Out of his right hand went a fiery law, and it was for them. It's for us today. Now, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if it was a fiery law for them back then on Mount Shining from Mount Paran, how did he change? It didn't change. If it was for them then, it must have been good.
Yes.
It's yet good.
Yes.
I believe the word of God is good,
yes.
right?
Yes.
I believe David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee.
Yes.
What you hiding it for if you can help but sin? Somebody don't have an understanding. Luke 1:68.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people.
What?
And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David.
Isn't that beautiful? Somebody going to cry loud. Horn of salvation means it's a way to salvation. That one that God has sent is opening up the gate and the door that if you want to get salvation, it's available. What?
As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets.
What?
Which have been since the world began.
What?
That we should be saved from our enemy.
We want to be saved. Not only enemy we got is one. Mm-hmm. That's the devil.
Right.
So what I thought people were our enemies. That's who the devil is in. People. He was in you and I if we, before we knew God. He's yet there if you ain't got rid of him. But that's the enemy. That we should be saved from our enemies and what?
And from the hand of all that hate us.
Isn't that beautiful? Let's go to Revelation. So many people today, they are so-called Christians and don't know we still have that weapon, that warfare, and it's not carnal. We're fighting against the enemy.
Yes, yes.
And when we fight against the enemy, we're fighting against where the enemy dwells, in bodies.
Yes.
Like he used to dwell with us.
Right.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
But we're married to another now.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Beautiful.
Revelation 12:17, what does it say?
And the dragon was wroth with the woman.
Now that dragon is the devil. This is not the dragon that you saw in Game of Thrones.
Oh. No, Pastor.
This dragon, you can't see with your naked eye.
All right, Pastor.
But you can see who he dwells in. You see his actions.
And went to make war with the remnant of her seed.
So there's a remnant. He's not fighting anybody but the remnant of this woman. Why? Because he owns the woman. Most of these are the people of God that say they're called by his name, but they're not saved. It's just a remnant. He has power over them because they don't know God, but they're called by his name. That woman, that church, the mass of them. What?
Which keep the commandments of God.
Now that's that remnant. Those, there's just few, as I say. Are there a few to be saved? That's what the Lord, Peter asked the Lord. Are there a few? Yes, it is. Just a few. That's the remnant.
Yes. And have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
But wait a minute. What's the testimony of Jesus Christ? My Father gave me a commandment. What I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. I do always those things that please the Father. That's
beautiful.
The testimony if you're the remnant.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Let's go to Ephesians 6 and 11.
Mm-hmm.
I thank God for knowledge. Been in this way since 1975. Most people say, I ain't tired yet.
All right.
I ain't saying that. My actions should tell. Anytime you beat Deacon Fina clapping, you got something on you here. Ephesians 6 and 11.
Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
The devil is wild. And if you're not led by God, you cannot overcome and outrun the devil. He's work with the best. From day one, it takes God to overcome the enemy. What?
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
What?
But against principalities.
Well, wait a minute. That's what the nation is going through right now. Been going through since all of us can remember. It's about principalities. The principles of the U.S. against the principles of the Soviet. China. Then there's individual principles. Coming down to your household principles, what you stand for, who you are, who you like. That's what we wrestle against, principalities. Who do we want to be like? We want to be like the Lord.
Yes.
If they persecuted him, they're going to persecute you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Principalities against
powers,
what?
Against the rulers of the darkness of this world.
What?
Against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Spiritual wickedness in high places.
Mm-hmm.
But I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Ruth, let's go there. Ruth 1:6.
Where is that?
flesh and blood, we're not wrestling against that. It's against principalities. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Pastor.
Let's see what Sister Ruth is saying.
Right.
Ruth 1:6. What does it say?
Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread.
Yeah, you have a desire for the Lord, to please the Lord, to live for God. God got bread for you. And if you can't get to that bread, God will sustain you until you get there. If you have a mind to live for God, God is not going to let the devil destroy you before you get to the knowledge. And once you get to the knowledge, you begin to strive living for God. He's not going to let the enemy overtake you when you are sincere in striving to overcome. He's not going to allow that. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
If you obey the word, because God gives us everything we need to stay ahead of that devil and to stamp him out of our life. Isn't that beautiful? Read the 8th verse. What does it say?
And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me.
As ye have dealt with the dead
and with me.
Read the 14th verse.
And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her.
You can't beat these churchgoers crying. They will cry you a river of tears. And in the next breath, they will roll their eyes.
Yes, Pastor.
Not in God, you don't do that. Not in God. But they were both sorrowful because they had lost their companions. And in order to stay with their companions, they had to leave their gods. What does it say? Read.
And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods.
So wait a minute. They both came from their gods. That means they were saved from their gods.
Yes.
They were saved from those gods as long as they were with Ruth.
Yes.
Naomi. As long as they yielded to the teaching, they were saved from those gods. What?
Return thou after thy sister-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go.
What?
And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge.
What?
Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
We should have the same mind, and we do here at 425.
Yes.
Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
St. John 14 and 15.
Yes.
Ruth said, entreat me not to go. Ruth said, I'm staying with the salvation.
All right.
I'm not going backwards. I've come from that. I'm going to stay with you. But some jump ship. Some jump ship and never get the knowledge. You got ones that jump ship. I don't care what organization you're in, whether it's religious or whatever. You got ship jumpers. And then you got those that will endure. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
St. John 14, 15, what does it say?
If ye love me, keep my commandments.
Wait a minute. Why would God ask us to keep his commandments if we couldn't? Because if we keep God's commandments, we're saved from sin. If I'm keeping not having God's before God, that means I don't have them. How plain is that? I would like anyone that hear this broadcast to write me or call and tell me what is too hard out of the 10 that I can't do. And if I can't do it, I'll tell you I can't do that. But give me what you think that suggestion is. Read.
And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever.
The 21st verse, what does it say? He.
He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me.
Isn't that beautiful? So he that hath my commandments and keep them, that means it's doable.
Yes.
He that hath them and keep them, he it is that loveth me. What?
And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him.
Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Beautiful. Read 22nd verse, what did Judas say?
Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?
That's a question. What did he say?
Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him.
There it is again. He will keep my word. Mm-hmm. How can you do that if it's not doable? Mm-hmm. Well, his hand is not shortened that he can't save. If you keep his word, that's the Lord saving you from committing sin. If you yield to it.
Yes.
How plain is that? Read.
And we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
Isn't that beautiful? What?
He that loveth me.
He that loveth me not.
What? Keepeth not my sayings. And the word.
Wait a minute. So if you're listening, you're not a commandment keeper. Either you haven't heard.
You can visit us at any time for our broadcast messages at www.godscovenantchurch.org. Write and mail us at 425 Laconia Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90061. Or call us at any time at area code 323-754-8302. You can email us at info@godscovenantchurch.org. Also, you can subscribe to our podcast at www.godscovenantchurch.org.